You're up.
Go do it.
We need you to do it. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. We are glad to see you here. We are sparse in numbers. We've got some illness going on, but we are thankful that we are here and thankful that we can come together and praise the Lord. So, a couple of announcements. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. This is through Zoom, so you don't have to leave your home. And if you want, you can either call in or you can go on Zoom on the computer and see each other. So I encourage you, if you go to the website, galescreekchurch.com, why you can just click on a thing and here we are. We all see each other. So I encourage you to do it. And then we have Gleaners, and Gleaners is on Wednesdays. And they open the doors for food at 11 o'clock. And it's gone by 11:05. But it's a great ministry, and it's great. And if you know of somebody that needs help, be sure and give them Sherry or Helen's phone number. Men's Retreat is coming up March 24th and 26th. If you are interested at all, see Bill. And Easter Sunday, instead of having a potluck afterwards, we're going to have a potluck before service. So at 9:30, we're going to have potluck. And Lori and Jean are sick, but by next week we should have a sign-up thing. So you can just sign up what we're going to bring so we don't have a bunch of duplicates. But that will come next week. And then the ladies have their spring convention, April 21st and 22nd, at the Aloha Church of God. So it's close this time. There is registrations on the back there if you're interested in going. See Donna. I have mine filled out, however, I haven't given it to her because I haven't written a check. I need to write the check. So anyway, I think it'll be fun. I'm glad that we get to go to both Friday night and Saturday. Usually we just go to Saturdays because it's far away. So that'll be good. And also the Sunday after Easter is over with, we're going to start doing Sunday school. So we'll start at 9:30 again, and it'll just be in the front room up here. So nobody has to go up and downstairs besides coming in here. So encourage you to come at 9:30 for Sunday school. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are few in numbers, Lord, but we are mighty and we love you. And we are just so thankful that we have a church that we can come to and that we can praise your name. We are thankful for Glenn agreeing to come and share with us today, Lord. And we just ask you, open our hearts as we listen to what you have put on his heart to share. We ask that you open our hearts as we sing worship to you, Lord. Just let it be music to your ears, Lord. We love you, and we just praise your name, and we are just thankful that we have you in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, so we have our call to worship, if you'd like to stand. It's Psalms 104, verses 1 to 3. O Lord my God, how great you are. You are robed with honor and majesty. You are dressed in a robe of light. You stretch out the starry curtains of the heavens. You lay out the rafters of your home in the rainy clouds. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride upon the wings of the wind. Is a mighty God. All right, we're going to start with Here I Am to Worship.
Magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our there with His brightness transformed, and I rise to meet Him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout it with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of bright thirsty land.
Picture. You may be seated.
Good morning. Now's a special time where we give back. God has blessed us with throughout the week and in tomorrow's. Jeremy's going to help me with offering. Would you like to pray for us, Jeremy? Great God, we are so blessed by you today, Lord, with a wonderful day of a guest speaker and his wife, to a time where we can give back to you, not only monetarily, but our hearts. We praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Request is that his family is sick except for Dawson. They all got strep throat. I'm just really praying for Fred, Carolyn, and Ivan, and Sarah, and the kids, Dawson. I gotta remember the names here. Landon and Claire. Yes, well, that's Uncle Bill Skeeter. Any other prayer requests? Or praises, excuse me, praises.
Thank you.
Right, right. Judy shared with us the special need of prayer for our seniors in the nursing homes. Dan and Marie and Lori, the COVID epidemic is really hitting them in the two nursing homes that they're both in. And as Donna and Judy are our main providers, they're going out and connecting with Lori particularly, and Lori's just quarantined to her room. Oh, terrible. She's in a cage. Supposedly open tomorrow, but we'll just pray that God opens those doors. I was visiting earlier with Linda about her mom, and she was telling me that her mom is doing a little better. We want to lift Tom and Lori up, as Tom's going to be going to Ireland on a business trip, that God blesses him too. I'm jotting these down as I'm writing them. Pray for Gene and Lori. They aren't here today. They're both feeling pretty under the weather. Gene and I had a wonderful fellowship. We were minding our distances, Donna. The wind was blowing. I have a leaf blower I nicknamed the leaf tickler or a leaf kicker. We blew the leaves off the yard here yesterday, and we're getting prepared for a community. The garden center is going to be bringing us some bark dust and spreading bark dust around their church proper on the flower bed. So we're praising. That's a praise. Yes. Any other? Oh. Well, I'm thankful that Donna felt that I needed extra piece of pie. It was good, Donna. It was good. Shonda, Judy also has shared a praise about going and seeing us. Shonda Pierce, is that right? Just cracks me up. I remember seeing a video, and she'd say, just cracks me up. She would laugh before she even told the joke. Reminds me of Red Skelton doing the same thing. Any other praises? Prayer requests? Yes, Carolyn. Awesome. Carolyn shared that her and Judy were involved, and there's other ladies that are involved in the BSF, and they got to have a blessing moment of taking care of the little ones as their mothers and grandmothers and aunts were involved in the study. What a blessing. What a blessing. It truly is. Any others? Yes.
I would just ask your prayers for my aunt. Her name is Pauline. She was involuntarily hospitalized the other day because she kept falling. She has fallen so much did not want the firemen to even pick her up. So they hospitalized her, and they have released her now to hospice. They took her straight to a hospice care center. So we don't know how much longer she's got. She's very combative. She's just, pray for peace for her. Help her find peace in her final hours.
Your twin. Linda shared with us that her aunt, Pauline, has been having falling issues and is very combative. We pray that God gives her a peace.
Whack! She's blind. She doesn't get around.
Oh, blind, all these other issues.
Just everything.
And I'm just so excited that I get to share with you debt. I gave two Bibles at work, and you've heard the story. Well, these two sisters were very at each other, and I shared with them a story about these two people, these two family units that didn't get along, that wanted, some wanted peace, some didn't, whatever, but it took 14 years of people praying. Well, I went to Stephanie and I said, Stephanie, do you want to be 14 years without being your close friend, as your sister-in-law? She said, okay, Bill, you kick me. And I, some of you know that I draw and I sketch, I make cards. And Pastor Teresa gave us a Bible verse, and I think it's in Thessalonians. It is in Thessalonians. And it shares that praise God even in the worst times. Still thanking, because this is what Jesus Christ would do. So, long story short, they're back together. That's
great. Yay!
Yes. So, and she said, she told me, you share it to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You share it. Okay, let's go to our Father. Debbie, you look as, did you want me to share anything? Okay. Father God, we have silent needs. We have silent praises too. God, we praise you that we can come to you and share our hearts. We can share our time of being saved by your grace, God, when we don't deserve it. God, we pray for a special blessing to be upon our Pastor Teresa in her travels, Lord, that you give her strength, that you encourage her, that she's a real light to your world, to your people. This special time of her reconnections, Lord. Lord, we praise you that and pray for Jean and Lori to feel better, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that Jean and I had a wonderful time of fellowship yesterday. We praise you, God, and a prayer request for Aunt Pauline, Lord. Help her not to be combative. Give her peace of mind. Comfort her, God. She can't see. God, there's a whole bunch of things, God. Just give her peace in her heart. Father God, we pray, Almighty God, that you be with Ivan and Sarah and family, Lord. Give them the strength they need, Father God. Heal this family. Help them be healed, Lord. We don't want them sick anymore. God, we pray, O Lord, for those people that were in the massive earthquakes. God, there's such a need there. And God, we just pray that you use us as not only prayer warriors, but those that can go and help. Father God, we pray for Ukraine people and the Russian people that don't want this war. God, I've been blessed with Ukraine families that pray for. Please pray for them, they say. Some of them haven't heard from their family members at all. God, we pray for their peace, God. We pray for their comfort. We pray for strength in this war, God. God, we pray, O Lord, for the seniors, Lord, the quarantine issue, the COVID issue, for Dan, Marie, and Lori, and many others, God, so many others. Lord, we pray for this wonderful ladies' BSF group, that, Lord, those that are watching the little ones are blessed, Lord, that the little ones learn. And the little ones learn who Jesus is, who you are, God. We just want to praise you for this moment. God, we pray, O Lord, that Glenn, as he's opened his heart to us, that we can share your multitudes of blessings. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you. Amen. I'm looking on my calendar here. So we don't have the little ones today.
We're going to sing the song.
But we're going to sing the song. I will. I'll be glad to sing. All right. Oh, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down.
The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went.
Blessings came down as the prayers go up. The blessings came down and the prayers go up. And the build your life on the Lord. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come down. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Ivan would say, okay, kiddos, come on up. Well, I believe we're all kiddos. I don't care what age you are. We're children of God. God, we are so blessed, Lord, that we want to build our hearts, our house, our horse, our house upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Because we don't want our house to fall flat or splat or get hit by a cymbal. But God, bless us as kiddos. Let us open our hearts. Open our hearts. Bless Glenn as he preaches to us and shares his heart, your heart, through him to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome. It is so good to be here, my wife and I. When Paula first mentioned that, she said, hey, Glenn, I have a favor to ask of you. She said, somehow I got scheduled to preach at two different places on the same Sunday. And I'm wondering if you could help me out. And I said, I'd love to. And I don't know if you guys knew that Paula Wilson had surgery. She had, yeah. And I was aware of that, and so I said, well, she told me she was going to preach at Gales Creek and wanted to know if I could preach at Newburgh, and I said, that'd be fine. But I said, you know, if for some reason you don't want to drive all the way to Newburgh, you want to stay home, I said, I could go to Gales Creek. So it worked out that we were able to do that, and so, well, it's been a while since I've been here. I am truly excited for your church. Lorena and I wanted to be here for your installation for Teresa, Pastor Teresa. And it just conflicted with some other things we had going on. But we're so excited for you. And we're praying for you and praying for Teresa. And just want you to know that we're just excited for you all. And glad that she's here. Glad that the Lord has led her here, and you guys have made that call to her to come and be a part of that. Today I want to, if I'd have known you were going to sing that song, maybe I'd have preached a different sermon. But today I want to talk a little bit from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Might be a familiar passage of Scripture to many of you.
Mark or Matthew?
Matthew. It's also in Mark. Thank you. See, I can't even read what I wrote. So in Matthew, and I think we'll pull this up on the screen. Let me read from Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. That was the Sea of Galilee that the disciples were going across. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Excuse me. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus said to them immediately, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So today I want us to just think a little bit about what does it take to walk on the water? And I want us to consider some things, and you have an outline there perhaps, and in that outline, the first thing is some prerequisites for walking on the water. In order to walk on the water, the first thing you got to do is your desire to get to Jesus has got to be greater than your fear. If your fear is greater than your desire to get to Jesus, it'll keep you in the boat. You know, there were 11 other men in that boat, and none of them got out. Their fear was too great. But Peter wanted to get to Jesus. He wanted to join this man who had the power to walk on water. And he wanted that more than he feared what might happen. So Peter got out of the boat. Your desire to get to Jesus has got to be greater than your fear. Secondly, you must be willing to fail. Got to be willing to fail. If we're only willing to try those things for God that we know for sure we can do, we're never going to attempt anything beyond our own abilities. And we will never let God use us to accomplish his miracle. My son, John, was a huge Michael Jordan fan when he was growing up. And when he got older, he sent me this quote from a Michael Jordan poster that he had hanging in his room. It was a quote from Michael Jordan, which said, Michael Jordan said, "I have missed 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost over 300 games. 26 times, I've been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life. And that's why I succeed." See, if you're going to be willing to accomplish anything for Jesus, you have to be willing to fail sometimes. Third, you must have a firm commitment to Jesus. How firm does your commitment to Jesus need to be? Richard Latham says, "Your faith must be such that Jesus will have faith in your faith." I want to repeat that. Your faith must be such that Jesus will have faith in your faith. Jesus needs to know that when he says, "Come," you'll go. you'll do it. You'll come. Fourth, you must learn that the first step is the hardest. Been there, done that. All my life, the first step seems to always be the hardest. You see, if Satan can convince you that what Jesus is asking you to do is impossible, you'll never be willing to take that first step. If he can undermine your confidence in Jesus by keeping your focus on yourself instead of on Jesus, you'll never get started. So, you have to learn that the first step is the hardest. My question for you is, what is that first step for you? What has God been calling you to do for him that you haven't yet done? What first step do you need to take? Let me tell you, the first step really is the hardest. But if you're willing to take it, you'll find Jesus will be there, not only for that first step, but for the next step, and one after that, and one after that, and for everyone after that that you take for him. What is that first next step for you? And as a church, what's that next step for you? You guys have been here for a long time. You've had a ministry in this community. I got acquainted with Ivan Marble Sr. and Gales Creek back in 1968 when I was a student at Warren Pacific College. I have been blessed by some of the ministry that you have had. But this is now 2023. What's that next step that God has for you today? That step that Satan is trying to convince you is too impossible, is too scary, that maybe he's placing on Pastor Teresa's heart to lead you toward. What is that next step? I just want to encourage you to seek where God is asking you to take that next step, where Jesus is saying, come, and then take it. Take a risk and see what God will do. Okay, next are some rules for walking on the water. First of all, don't look at the waves. Don't look at the waves. Back in the days of farming, when everyone was doing their plowing with mules, maybe some of you here, you know, were part of that generation, the farmer always prided himself on having a straight row. He could stand at the end of his field, and you could look down the row of grain or cotton or corn or whatever, and the rows were perfectly straight. Well, a young man moved into one of these farming communities, and he started farming a section of land, and it soon became apparent that this was his first try at farming, as the rows in his field were not very straight. So one day, while he was visiting with a neighboring farmer, the young man asked that older farmer how he got his rows plowed so straight. And the old farmer said, it's easy. He says, you just pick out an object at the opposite end of the field from where you want to start, such as a tree or a fence post. He said, you line it up between your mule's ears, and you go straight at it. You want to walk on water? When you take that first step, and you get out of the boat, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You can't look at the waves. You got to focus straight ahead, looking only at Jesus. Satan will do everything he can to distract you. He'll make the waves higher and higher. He'll make the wind blow and howl louder and more fiercely. But Jesus will always be there, straight ahead. And if you keep your gaze on him, you'll be okay. Even if the waves block your view of him, don't take your eyes off of where you know Jesus is. Trust him. Trust him to be there for you. Because remember who walked on the waves first. And keep your eyes on the miracle worker. Second, don't listen to the boat people. How many people got out of the boat? One. I can just imagine the rest of them telling Peter, don't you dare step out there. Are you crazy? You'll sink. You'll never make it. Peter, you're an idiot. If you think you can walk on water, Peter, use your head. Think, man, it's impossible for you to walk on water. How many times do we have people around us who are telling us, you can't do that. That's impossible. Don't even try. You're crazy. you'll never make it. You'll never amount to much. You're an idiot if you think you can trust Jesus to help you. And you know what's even worse? Is when those people are in the church. Did I say that? The people in the boat with Peter were also disciples. They were in the same boat as he was. They saw the same Jesus, heard the same invitation to come, but they stayed in the boat. Now, some of the people in the church will be your best supporters. They will be the ones who will be encouraging you and praying for you to take that step out of the boat and go where Jesus is calling you to go, to do what Jesus is challenging you to do. But there will be sometimes other people in the church, well-meaning people, but whose faith and vision is not where it needs to be at that moment. And they will try and discourage you from taking that step. So don't listen to the boat people. They'll keep you from following Jesus. They'll try and talk you out of taking that risky first step and trying something that Jesus is calling you to do that just doesn't make sense to us. So don't listen to the boat people. And third, don't look at your feet. Now, this is different from letting the waves distract you from Jesus. Because one of the things that can so easily happen in our life when we actually do step out of the boat and we begin walking on the water is we begin thinking, wow, how cool is this? Look at what I'm doing. And we get our eyes off Jesus. And we forget that he is the source for our success, our accomplishment. And we start looking at our feet, at what we are doing. But when we do that, my friends, sooner or later, we're in for a fall. Sooner or later, we will begin to sink. So we have this dichotomy, this paradox. On the one hand, we dare not think too highly of ourselves. We dare not begin to think that somehow we are the ones accomplishing what God is doing. And on the other hand, neither should we think too lowly of ourselves. We dare not think that God could never use us. We dare not think that we are too insignificant, too ordinary, too flawed, too small for God to use. God can use the very least if they're willing to get out of the boat. Step out in faith and let God use them. Let God work his amazing miracles and power through them. Next, let's talk about the rewards for walking on water. Number one, you get to do great things for God. Sometimes our lives get into a rut, a routine. There's work, and there's time with the family and church and taking care of the lawn, there's getting the kids ready for school and doing housework and shopping. There's, you know, for the younger generations, there's after-school sports or piano practice or going to the Y. It's not a bad rut. In fact, even though it keeps us busy, maybe too busy, it's a nice rut. It's a comfortable rut. For us, you know, it's hanging out with the grandkids, getting to go to all of their sports activities and all of that. It's a good life. It's a nice rut. It's a comfortable routine. But it can lead to spiritual complacency. It takes the edge off of living for Jesus. It dulls our ardor for kingdom work. It helps us settle for mediocrity, complacency as a follower of Christ. But Jesus did not come to ask us to live a life of comfortable complacency. He came to call us to live a life with him, going where he calls, stepping out of the boat, attempting things for him we would never think possible. Things that in God's eyes and in his kingdom are great things. And we get to be a part of that. I told you I went to Warner Pacific College, was a freshman in 1968. At the end of that summer, at the end of that school year, during that summer I went back home. My my mom and dad were pastors in Auburn, Washington. And that particular summer, they went back to Anderson Camp Meeting, Anderson, Indiana Camp Meeting. And my younger sister went back with them. So for a couple of weeks, I was home by myself, which was fine. You know, I was just turned 19. And I had a summer job, a job that I'd had the summer before, and I was able to go back to it for that summer. And I was in band in high school, and the high school band teacher had started a summer band program that year where he invited any alumni that was in town that wanted to be a part of the band to come and join. And so after work, I would go to band rehearsals and you know, I was just having a lot of fun. Well, one evening, I got home from work, and I, you know, had just fixed a wonderful meal of hot dogs. Well, I just gotten the hot dogs out of the refrigerator and was getting ready to boil them in some water when the doorbell rang. And I went to the door, and there was this homeless man at the door. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said to me, they said you could help me. And then I remember that my dad and mom, but my dad was a part of the ministerial fellowship in Auburn. And there were a number of pastors that had gathered together to, you know, just pray and support and encourage each other and try to help as a group of churches help the community. And dad was an officer. I don't know if he was the chairman of the ministerial fellowship or the treasurer, but somehow this group of pastors had thought, what can we do to help the home? And the homeless then was not near what it is now. But still, there was a need. And so the churches had decided that, well, we could. So they went down to one of the motels in town, and they made an arrangement with that motel. And they said, if we find a homeless person, we will bring them to the motel and put them up for the night. And we will pay, you know, we'll cover the cost for that person to have. And I knew that had happened because I guess I'd seen it or heard, but I didn't know which motel it was. And I didn't know what to do, except that I realized that maybe the police had told this homeless man, you go to that house, the man there is a pastor, and he'll help you. He'll know what to do. So the guy came to my house and he knocked on the door and he said, they told me you could help me. And I didn't know how to help him. But so I invited him in, and I thought, I know what I'll do. As a high schooler, I had hung out with a group. We called it fifth quarter club. And it was a bunch of the youth groups from those various churches. We all got together after football games or basketball games. So I had gotten to know some of the other pastors. I thought, I know, I'll call one of the other pastors and turn this problem over to them. You know. So I invited him into the house, had him stand there. I went to the phone. I started calling this pastor, no answer. This pastor, no answer. This pastor, line was busy. This pastor, no answer. That was all the pastors I could think of to call. So I called the one whose line was busy. It was still busy. And so I called it again, and it was still busy. And I thought, what do I do? And God was saying, you help him. You take care of him. Me? I don't know what to do. But I heard God's voice saying as clearly as anything, you help him. That was Jesus calling me to step out of my boat, to do the risky thing. Because he was calling me to trust him. So I said, you know what? You could stay here for the night. And I put on a few more hot dogs. I said, I'm getting ready to have some hot dogs. Would you like some? And he nodded yes. Excuse me. Put on some more hot dogs. I've never seen a person eat hot dogs so fast in my life. He just scarfed these things down. I showed him my sister's room, you know, because my room was downstairs in the basement, right? And I, no, actually, just because my parents' room and my sister's room was upstairs. And so I showed him my sister's room, and I said, here, you can, you know, stay here for the night. And I took a breath, and I said, I'm going to be gone for a little while, and I'll be back, because I wanted to go to my band stuff. So he walked over, and looked at the bed. Literally, he just flopped on the bed, clothes and all, shoes and all. Didn't get under the covers, didn't do anything, just flopped there. And looked like he fell asleep. So I closed the door, and I said a little prayer, and I went out the door, and I went to my band activities. And I got done with that, and I came home, and I realized, as I was walking up to the front door, I forgot. I left this guy in my house. And all the fears started hitting me. What am I going to do when I walk in the door and I see that he's trashed the place, but see that he's stolen a bunch of stuff and he's taken off? What am I going to tell my mom and dad? How am I going to? And I had this moment of anxiety and fear, but I also thanked the Lord that I had the kind of parents to whom I just had this feeling, okay, I go in there and the house is trashed and he's stolen a bunch of stuff and stuff like that. But I tell my parents what I did and why I did it. I just have this feeling my folks will say, we understand. But that only eased the anxiety a little bit. So I opened the door. I walked in the house. I looked around. Everything looked fine. I was glad. Couldn't hear anything. I softly walked down the hallway. I peeked open the door, cracked open the door a little bit, peeked in. He was still there in the same position on the bed, still asleep. Nothing had changed since I had left. And so I just thanked the Lord, and I went to bed. I got him up early in the morning. I gave him some breakfast, probably Cheerios like I was eating or something like that. Fixed him a PBJ lunch like mine. I took him to the bus stop for strawberry pickers before I went to my summer job. And told him, God bless you, and never saw him again. But God showed me through that experience that he would take care of things if I was willing to step out of the door. Do I recommend we always do that? No. Do I, today, when a homeless person comes and knocks on my door, do I let him in? Only when God prompts me to. You know, it's not something that I've made a general policy. It was one of those times when God was speaking to me, and I heard him say, you take care of him, and you trust me. And I did, and God showed me. So I share that story with you to say, you know, sometimes we get to do, that might not seem like a great thing, but it impacted me. And hopefully it made a difference in his life, too, for that moment. Two, one of the rewards is you get to fail. Now, when I was talking about the prerequisites for walking on water, one of my points was you must be willing to fail. Now I'm bringing it up again, but this time as a reward. How can failure be a reward? Well, Peter got out of the boat. He started walking on the water, and then he failed. He took his eyes off Jesus. He looked at all the obstacles and the impossibilities, and he began to sink. He failed. But then he looked back at Jesus. He cried out to him. He was lifted up by Jesus. And he got to resume walking on the water with Jesus. Do you understand that greatness often comes out of failure? And we get to fail because God wants to teach us that failure isn't the end if we don't give up. Most great discoveries and inventions, most successes come out of repeated failures. Thomas Edison is attributed to failing over 10,000 times to invent a commercially viable electric light bulb. before he finally succeeded. God showed me with that transient that he would take care of things if I was willing to step out of the boat. Now, you think that that experience would drive that lesson home so deeply that I would never have to struggle with stepping out in faith again. But just like Peter, a new crisis comes along, a new challenge, a new opportunity, and I have to choose to trust God. I have to choose to take that first step to be willing to try and trust and fail all over again. I wish that my previous successful faith experiences were sufficient. But though they were sufficient for that moment, and though they may have prepared me for this moment, they won't do for this moment. This moment requires a new step of faith. It's a lesson I need to relearn over and over again. Sometimes I hear God's voice. I take the risk, and I see God at work. Sometimes I listen to other voices, the voice of reason, or common sense, or fear, and I don't take that step. And God has to use someone else, or watch someone suffer, because I didn't take that step up to help. I didn't step out of the boat. So, maybe that's true for you too. Each day, God offers us new opportunities to trust Him, to take a step of faith. And each day when we do, God works through us, and the rewards are so great. The next reward is you get to see things as Jesus sees them. Who gets ragged on the most in this story? Well, usually it's Peter, because he was the one that, you know, stepped out and took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. But who didn't even get out of the boat? Everybody else. Think about it. At some point, after Peter had failed, and after Jesus had pulled him back up, Peter is the one who is walking side by side with Jesus on the water as they head back to the boat. And Peter gets to see things from Jesus' perspective. He's no longer seeing the wind and the waves from the perspective of those in the boat. He now sees them as under the authority of Jesus. He now sees things as Jesus sees them. Who stepped out of the boat? Only Peter. Who do you think grew more in his faith? Who had the more intense and intimate experience with Jesus? Who received a more personal and spiritual, deeper blessing? Peter did, the one who stepped out of the boat. And he's the one who gained a new perspective, who got to see things as Jesus sees them. And my last point, you get to worship Jesus as never before. You know what happened after Jesus and Peter got back and climbed into the boat? I'm going to remind you of what it says in verses 32 and 33. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Listen, my friends, if you want to take your worship of Jesus to a whole new level, step out in the boat. When he says, "Come," go. Try trusting God for something he's laid on your heart to do, and then watch him work. Because when you see Jesus do things that are beyond belief, you will be filled with such awe, such reverence. You'll be so overwhelmed by the amazing love and grace and mercy, along with the incredible power that you will see in Jesus, that you too will fall on your knees before him and worship him as never before. Walk on water. Take the risk. Step out of the boat. The rewards are well worth, both for you and the people God will touch through you when you do. Thank you for letting me share with you, for letting me be here today. been a blessing to Lorene and I to be able to share with you. Let me pray. Jesus, you so often give us opportunities to step out of the boat. Help us to be willing to trust you and to do what you're calling us to do. Give us the courage we need, the faith we need, the willingness and the desire to walk with you on the water and to let you use us. I pray for the Gales Creek Church. Lord, I don't know where they're at. Maybe they're thinking, wow, you know, we're smaller. We don't have as many people as we used to have. I don't know what's going on in their hearts and in their minds. But I thank you for Pastor Teresa. I pray that you will encourage her and bless her and give her vision and speak to her. But Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of the people here in this church. And may they walk on water with you. We pray these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
And sing Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of the God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the
Would you like to close us in prayer?
As the scriptures say, the Lord bless you and keep you. Mm-hmm. Lord, have his face shine upon you. Lord, lift up his countenance and may he speak peace to you. May you go in peace today. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn.